It's good to be here this morning, and yeah, I was just blessed with the song "God of Our Strength Enthroned Above." The one verse said "strength day by day" or something like that, and you know, that's how we find it in this journey. At least that's how it is for me. God is faithful in providing and giving us that strength, right? First of all, I think it kind of strikes me, it's kind of amazing to me that we can be here, a group of people who have suffered loss, and we all know how hard that is, how difficult it is, and yet we can sing here and we can praise the Lord, and we can talk about His joy and His grace, and I don't know, how is this possible? I think about that we can do that. I think it's something called grace. It's the grace of God. And I'm blessed by that this morning. And also being here with a group of people who, I'm going to say, gets it. Like we kind of get each other. We kind of understand. We can feel and sympathize and so on. I'm going to read a quote by Helen Keller that sort of brings that out. I quote, says, "When it seems that our sorrow is too great to be borne, let us think of the great family of heavy-hearted into which our grief has given us entrance, and inevitably we will feel about us their arms, their sympathy, and their understanding." End of quote. I just kind of like that. That's just how it is. We can be together and we just kind of get each other, I think. So I'd like to briefly this morning introduce myself and my family. But before I do that, I'd like to read I'd like to read from Psalm 16. This is a portion of scripture that I have come to really appreciate. And the last verse of this psalm is highlighted in my Bible. And this used to be my wife's Bible. And before she passed, she wondered if I would like to use it or what she should do with it. I said, sure. And so this verse is highlighted as one that she highlighted in her Bible. So I'm going to begin. I'm just going to read the entire psalm, Psalm 16. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor will take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is my portion, is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup." And I'd like to read that verse in the NIV. It says, "Lord, you have assigned unto me my portion and my cup, and you have made my lot secure." Verse 9 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given us counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And then this last verse is the one I'd like to just kind of think about or have in focus through this topic. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And I'd like to think of this verse as, you know, we may read this verse and think that it's speaking about the future life and how that He will show us the path of life and think of eternal life. And I think it includes that. But I'd like for us to think this morning that God is going to show us a path in life, during life, as we're here, and whatever God is, the journey that God has called us to, and being a single parent, God is going to. I think His Word, His Holy Spirit, always moves us in a direction of life. It always moves us that direction. That's the just blesses me this morning. So I'd like to keep that in focus. Just to introduce myself and my family a little bit. I have my name's Steve Yoder. I'm 47. I live south of here, about a half an hour, in a town close to Mifflintown. We live on a farm there. That's what I do for a living. And we have six children living at home. My oldest son is married, and he lives in the same community as well. And we have my second son he's 20. And he's teaching school in South Carolina. And then I have three teenage daughters, 18, 16, and 14. And that gets interesting sometimes. And then Cedric, he's 12. And my youngest is 9, Carice, who's a girl. So that's us. My wife Carolyn, she passed on August 12th of 2022, so a little over 2 years ago, and she died from cancer. She had been diagnosed in, I think it was January of 2017, and. We had, of course, done tests and CT scans, and they found cancer in the liver and in the lymph nodes. So it was pretty much right from the start. It was stage 4 cancer, and I still very well remember the day the doctor from Hershey Medical called and just gave us the news, and you know, your life just changed. The prognosis was, with the best of our therapies or chemos, we can, you know, hope for a year, a good year. And it seemed so short, like so sudden. And I remember just, of course, we have the shock and we pray a lot about it, and I remember asking the Lord, said, Lord, couldn't you at least give us 5 years? I mean, to me then, 5 years seemed like a long time. 5 years seemed like, my youngest daughter was only, I'm not sure if she was even quite 2 years old, and there would not have been many memories. And I thought 5 years would do, the Lord, please, 5 years. And so, you know, life went on. We did some chemotherapy, and then we soon ditched that because we didn't feel like it was helping. And we went to Mexico, and we got help there. And it was about exactly 5 years later that we did some more tests, and the cancer was back, and just kind of went downhill from there. I've often wondered, so why didn't I ask for 20 or 10? But I am grateful. During those 5 years, well, I don't know, they were just some of the best years. My daughter connected very much with Carolyn. So that's kind of our story. And the funeral's over, and we're back home. And it's me and the children. And I thought there after the funeral, like surely nothing else would go wrong. God would surely spare us from anything else, right? But I found out that, well, my youngest daughter was really sick that same week. I had to take her to the doctor. children still got sick. I found out if you don't put wood on the stove, it'll go out. It was just, you know, the cattle got out if you left the gate open. These things still just happen. You know, life went on, and it just does. So I don't know. I don't even know where to start this morning with single parenting. One of the things that I've often wondered is, or how many of you have young children and teenagers that are still in your home? Okay, good. How are you doing? I've often asked myself the question, like, how am I doing in this? Like, I can't ask my wife. Nobody else really tells me if I'm doing it right or wrong.
You're doing good, Steve.
But do you know what I mean? You kind of wonder, like, how am I doing? And I know for myself, and I'm sure probably for you too, like often after the children were to bed, it was just the two of us in the living room, and we would just chat about our day, and you talk about the children, and I think there's something about a woman that's more just in tune with where her children are at, and you know, she would say something like, "What was wrong with so and so today? Just didn't seem like it was quite himself." And, "Oh, I don't know, what did you see?" And that's what I really miss. I miss that a lot. And I feel like often, or I wonder what I'm really, you know, what am I missing? But this verse in chapter 7, or this verse that I read, says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel." And I'm sure you've probably found that. That God has ways of showing you and directing you and giving you counsel. I have found that for myself. There are several things that I have committed to or try to remind myself in parenting as solo, and I'll just give them to you as prayer and the time with the Lord, and then just to help my children feel secure. Number 3 is don't be selfish and be patient. And I haven't always done this, but it's something I try to just try to remind myself through the process of healing and grief. And our children all grieve differently. I have my oldest or second son. He would play music. He enjoyed playing the guitar many evenings up in his room. And I think he was praising the Lord. It was how he found healing. They all have different ways of dealing with it. Just going back to the list here, prayer and time with the Lord. I've found that to be so important in my life, so key. Like to just every morning find a little time to kind of refocus and just come back and spend some time praying. It just kind of gives you clarity and gives you some, just kind of puts things in perspective. I feel like if I'm in a good place, emotionally, spiritually, somehow it kind of helps the children feel more secure and stable as well. And if I'm in a bad mood, I can so easily see it in my children. They watch me. There's nobody else there. I come in from work from the day, and you know, I can just kind of see, you know, how's Dad? And I have to really be careful to be in a good frame of mind, because it affects everyone. Someone has said, being a single parent isn't so much about what we lack, but it's about the abundance of courage that we harness daily from God's word. And I like that. It's not so much what we lack, but it's what we, the abundance of courage that we harness daily from God's word. So, one of the questions and things I often thought about, especially earlier on, as I was finding my way through my own pain and just the emotionally maybe not stable, is that what you call it? I don't know. But how can I bring, make my children feel safe and secure and emotionally stable if I'm going through it myself? And it's for real. The struggle is for real. And so then, number two, in helping our children feel secure, I just sensed that in my children soon after the funeral and maybe this first week. I could just tell that they were, there's just behavior. There's things that they do and say that are a result of the dealing with the loss and the pain. And the first winter, she passed in August, and then that winter, after the nights get longer, there's less daylight hours, and the evenings get a little longer. The children were, of course, in the house more. One thing we did that winter was we read through the Laura Ingalls books, and just every evening, my youngest daughter would bring me the book we were reading, and it was just, she was on the recliner there, on my lap, and Cedric was on the couch, and we would just read, and it was really good. It was something about it that we were all doing something together, and it was a good experience. It was one evening we were reading, and usually I put my arm around my daughter and would read the book, and then for whatever reason this one evening I didn't have my arm around her, and she said, "Put your arm around me, Dad." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Why? Why do you like that, or how does that make you feel?" She just makes me feel safe, I guess. And I know I didn't always do that. I'm sure there's times when I miss things. I had my oldest son several months after, or maybe a month or so after the funeral. I was getting ready for bed, and he just came back, and he said, "Dad," I said, "I need a hug." And I was glad he did that, but I wondered, like, maybe the other children need one too again. It was good for me to have him do that. Don't be selfish. I think it's so easy. It amazes me that as we draw closer to God through grief and loss and through hurt, that somehow we're still, there's still carnality in us. And it's so easy to be selfish even in our grief. It is. And I prayed many times, "Lord, please protect my children from me. Just protect them from my selfishness and that the carnality that's so easy to just wants to come out." In our home, I can't expect my daughters to be and do what mom did. They're different. They have a different personality. They are, and my daughters, I'm blessed, very blessed. 18, 16, and 14, if they get a notion to make things happen, they can. They can cook up a meal. They had to learn some of that, but they're doing very well. I'm proud of them. But, I still see things that they do differently than what my wife did. One of the things is the flower beds and the work outside. The bushes are just a little bit more straggly, and I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. You just need to be okay with things being different because they are. They are different. It doesn't mean that I'm not saying we shouldn't teach them the things and the skills and so on, but just allow them to be a different person. Be okay with a new normal. Be okay with a meal that's maybe not meat and potatoes and all the trimmings. Just be okay with that. And we can be selfish. I know how it is. I've come into the house after a full day of working with hardly any lunch and you had pizza. And I like pizza, but I've had my share, okay? But you just be okay with things like that. Those are the moments that when you just need to remind yourself, like, look, it's okay. They probably did their best. Be okay with helping out with some of the things too, the cooking and just be okay with doing some of that yourself. I enjoy making breakfast. That's about the only thing I can cook, and I enjoy it. The mornings I come in from doing my chores, I'll go in and get the children up and you know, throw something on the skillet and so on. And I enjoy that. I used to do that before Carolyn passed, and I enjoy it. But I don't want to make supper and lunch and just somebody else. So I guess what I'm saying is it's so easy to be selfish. And we just need to ask God to help us and give us counsel in those times. I think as single parents, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves trying to balance it out. And it's never going to be perfectly balanced. And I think the sooner we realize this, the sooner we relieve some pressure. I can't be what we were together. And I think the sooner we realize that, I think the better. And believe it or not, there's even been times, and I expose myself in thinking of being selfish. There's times when I come in from a day of work, and it's just me in the house. And so the younger children, they want dad. And there's times, of course, you love when they come and jump on your lap and so on, but there's times that I'm just like, I'm in my fog and in my grief, I was just like, oh, I just wish you would go away. And just feel like they're just cutting into my, and just bothering me, you know, but I need to be careful. Communication is key, I think, too. I don't know how you found it with your children. Some like to talk about mom and her not being here, and others would just kind of rather not. For myself, I love to talk about Carolyn, and I love to talk about who she was, and I do as much as I can, as much as I want to. I talk about her and things she said and things she liked and didn't like and things she did and so on. And I know my children, I think they like it. Most of them do. But sometimes you ask them individually. Some will talk and some just... I think we need to be okay with that. We need to be patient. And somehow help our children become secure and just feel secure. And finally, you know, I guess not just single parenting, even in a normal home, whether there's a dad and a mom, you know, you do your best as parents for your children. And there's a certain amount of trust and that you just commit to the Lord, right? You just, Lord, show me how to do it. Give me the strength to do what you want me to do. And Lord, the rest, I commit them to you. And I think God, he does want us to trust him, and we can. I've had I'll just close with a story that that I've had, an experience that I've had. It was probably two or so months after, it would have been more like 5 or 6 months after Carolyn passed. I was, I don't know, I couldn't remember things. I just forgot. I don't know how many appointments we forgot. We would have dentist appointments or whatever, car appointments, and I just would forget. I just couldn't. I would write it down. I couldn't remember them. And one Saturday morning, I was struggling that weekend, and I just was trying to. I was just wrestling with things again. Just a bunch of things that came together where I just felt like, you know, what is this? And I was just struggling. And I was going to a cow sale, and on a Saturday morning, and I was supposed to get on the Bedford or the exit. It was the sale was in Bedford, and I was supposed to get on the exit. Completely missed the on ramp for the turnpike, and I was driving down 75. And I don't know, I had gone pretty far, and I was like, wait, where am I? And I realized I was way past the exit. So I looked on my GPS and figured, well, I'll just keep going, and I'll just take Route 30 up over those mountains and get to Bedford that way. And it was a beautiful morning. The spring leaves were coming. It was pretty. And but I was struggling. And I was going up, I don't know how many mountain ranges there are there, quite a few, up and around. And I was on the last mountain just before I come into Bedford. I was up on the top, just ready to go down and around. And there was a little wooden sign on a tree. It said, "Trust Jesus." And I think that was the reason I missed the exit. I think God wanted me to see that sign. And it was a good lesson for me. It's something I still think about when I get into hard times. You know, just trust me. You can. Lord bless.